You've heard of neighborhood zoning. Now there's a move afoot to zone the ocean. Oregon, Washington State, and the federal government all have fledgling plans to coordinate competing ocean uses. But wave energy developers say Oregon's initial draft leaves them in a watery ghetto. Oregon is the first to produce detailed ocean maps. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonsi was one of the first reporters to get a look and has this report.
At first glance, the Pacific Ocean looks wide open and mostly empty. It's anything but on a digital map the state of Oregon has recently put online. The interactive display includes around 150 layers of data about existing ocean uses and natural features.
Okie doke.
Oregon Sea Grant fellow Todd Hollenbeck demonstrates on his laptop by highlighting prime fishing grounds.
And as you can see now, there's a large area of the territorial sea that's important to fishing, and with really the darker red colors representing some of the most important areas for each of the ports.
The map lights up from Nea Bay, Washington, to the Oregon-California border.
We can turn on things like commercial shipping lanes.
That adds purple lines crisscrossing the screen.
We can turn on some of the seabird layers that represent areas where there are seabird colonies, and these are represented by these little dots that show up right along the shoreline and some of the offshore rocky reef areas.
There are a lot of them.
There's a lot of seabirds.
Okay. And after we put all these layers on, and that's we just selected some of the big ones, what's left if I'm a wave energy developer?
Well, there are not a ton of areas that seem to not have something of importance in them already. And so the challenge here is finding the few areas that do exist that have the least amount of conflict.
That's the nub for actual project developers. Justin Kluwer of Pacific Energy Ventures feels boxed out by the initial set of lines drawn on the ocean planning map.
First blush, that those maps look a little intimidating from the industry perspective, only because the areas that they've identified are relatively small and don't align, I think, with some of the basic requirements that the industry's looking at, which is, you know, access to port, access to transmission, certain water depths.
Kluwer isn't giving up hope yet. It's early in the process, too early, in his view, to be drawing lines in the sand. To stay with the zoning analogy, he argues for a mixed-use approach while more data is gathered. The planning process is moving slowly. That's creating regulatory uncertainty. It scared off at least one ocean energy company interested in Oregon. Europe-based Aquamarine Power closed its local office this fall. In a statement, the company expressed a hope to return to the Pacific Northwest someday, but said it will focus on California in the meantime. Groups representing the fishing fleet remain leery of the ocean planning process. Ilwaco, Washington crab fisherman Dale Beasley has a hard time imagining sharing the sea with industrial energy installations.
Ocean energy and fishing are mutually exclusive. They will not be able to coexist in the same area.
A representative of environmental groups is more conciliatory. Susan Allen directs a coalition called Our Ocean.
I do think that there is a way through this, and it has to do with the fact that Oregon is uniquely suited to deal with this. We have a long legacy of figuring out what compromises are. We are the state that pioneered the Beach Act. We pioneered land use planning.
The ocean mapping and zoning process won't stop the West Coast's first commercial wave energy park. Ocean Power Technologies demonstration project near Reedsport, Oregon, is grandfathered in. The company plans to launch the first of 10 massive floating wave energy generators around the middle of next year. I'm Tom Bonsi in Astoria, Oregon.